My whole point with all of this is that I think we've gotten too far away from story in trying to pick apart this incredible paranormal subject. We've tried to apply science, and I think we moved away from what it originally was, which just was a great legend, a human bond and connection. And so that's the hope here is to forge a return to that.
Absolutely. I was talking to a friend of mine just today, and she and a group of others of her friends do literally legend tripping. They go to various events throughout the St. Louis area and venues and places looking for the little things of werewolves, Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts. And they love it. It's their weekend event.
It is. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot more people are doing it. First of all, if you're listening to Coast, there's a good chance you're already a legend tripper. You just didn't know it. Even to listen to great shows like this, to watch those paranormal television shows, all of them, all the ghost hunting shows, the UFO hunting shows, the monster quests, every one of them started with a story. Someone heard something compelling that they couldn't get out of their head, and they had to go check it out. Now, maybe now they're trying to apply all kinds of gadgets and technical gear and data and research, and that's fine. You can certainly go that far with it. But I think most of us fall in the middle where we just say, wow, that's an incredible story. I want to talk to that witness, and I want to stand where that ghost stood or where the UFO landed or where the Bigfoot creature walked through. And that's legend tripping. That's that stuff we did as kids. I mean, that's, in fact, the original definition. You know, when you're a kid, you snuck out and you went into the cemetery and knocked three times on the headstone at midnight under the full moon because you heard a ghost would come out. That's the original version, but today I'm redefining it, without apology. It's about getting out there and putting yourself into the story. It's unavoidable.
And what is a legend, Jeff? For example, when we were kids, we had a neighborhood woman by the name of Mrs. Chasteen.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, nobody ever saw Mrs. Chasteen's husband, so we never knew what happened to that guy. But we were convinced that she was a witch. And it started when somebody hit a ball. We used to play, in our day, you could play baseball on the street. And,
sure.
You know, when a car came by, we all yelled, car, and we got off, and then it went by. But we played hockey, we played baseball, we did everything in the street. It was one of those little subdivision places. Anyway, anytime somebody would hit a ball, it would somehow end up on her grass, and he'd have to go and get that ball, right?
Yep.
And every time somebody went and got the ball that was on her grass, she came running out with a broom and chasing people, get off the grass. And, you know, in some cases would even keep the ball because she'd get to it before we would. But we were convinced she was a witch. And during Halloween, everybody was dressed up in costume, so we figured Mrs. Chasteen wouldn't know who we were. We went up to her door, and she came out dressed in a witch outfit, and she gave everybody candy. I'm not sure we all ate it. You know, we probably took it out of our bags the minute we saw it go in. We weren't sure of Mrs. Chasteen. But so we were convinced as kids that she was a witch. Is that a legend? Would you call that a legend?
Without any doubt, I would call that a living legend. And there's that story. I think every one of us has that story from our own childhood. You know, maybe it's not the witch. Maybe it's the guy that, you know, killed someone in his basement, who probably didn't, by the way. It's just he was reclusive. And
were convinced there was somebody in the basement.
But what makes it a legend is as soon as one person talks to another, as soon as another person whispers and it sounds compelling and the other person repeats it, the legend is born, even though the person is still very much alive and well, you know, right there in that house on the street. A legend is a living, breathing entity in every sense of the word. It must be born somewhere along the way. It can grow up. It can marry and merge with others. It can travel or stay put. It can clone itself. And the only way a legend dies is when we stop talking about it. There's no other way. Now, here's where I differ from folklorists. I believe there often is paranormal roots to a legend, because there needs to be something that feeds that legend. There needs to be some kind of, something that carries it forward. And that, to me, is further sighting. So in the case of a haunt, you've got, they talk about a girl in a red dress seen on the second floor. Well, if no one sees that girl in the red dress on the second floor for many, many years, the legend will just kind of dwindle and die. But further sightings reinforce it. Same with Bigfoot legends, same with UFO legends, all of these things. You need something happening that keeps it going, that propagates it. And so, you know, in the, that great case of living legends, you know, we've got those. But you were kids sharing the story with another. And that's the wonderful part of it. It sounds like gossip, and gossip, of course, is bad. But legends are good because it's a human bond and connection. You kids were bonding with each other and whispering, you know, what she was. You were colluding together, you know, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sneak up on Halloween. And, you know, and that neighborhood story, again, plays out all over.